Is that? So, brothers and sisters in the Sangha, Jai Bhim. So, the auto rickshaws have tried to reduce our numbers. But many of you have managed to come, even though the auto rickshaws are on strike. So I take it that means that you've decided you want to follow in Baba Sahib's footsteps. You remember I set you some homework. I hope you remember I set you some homework. I asked you to think overnight whether you really wanted to follow in Baba Sahib's footsteps or not. Because that's what we're going to be learning how to do over these days. So I'm very pleased indeed that so many of you have voted with your feet. The fact that you are here, I take it means that you do want to follow in Baba Sahib's footsteps. So, chaliye. We all want to go in the same direction. We all want to follow Baba Sahib. So tonight we're going to get down to work. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about my experience last night. Last night I went back to the friends I'm staying with. We've been very kindly given space by some of our friends. So they gave us an excellent meal. And myself and my two assistants, Jyotika and Manjushura, we enjoyed our meal. And then we started talking to our host, who'd been at the talk. And he was telling us about his own life. And, well, he's about my age. But his experience is so different to mine. I come from the West. My parents, they're not wealthy, but they've always had plenty of money. My father was a senior officer in the Royal Navy. So my life has been quite privileged. But Mr. Bhagat, his own experience was that he came from a very poor farming family out in the village. And he came from a background where for thousands of years people had lived in poverty and oppression. But every day he used to walk 15 kilometers into Nagpur for education. First of all, he had to do some business, he had to do some dairy work, then he walked into Nagpur. So in that way he got an education. Then he got a government job. And now he's got a lot of responsibility. He's in charge of five districts.
अभी इनके तरफ बहुत सारी जिम्मेदारियां हैं, वो पांच जिलों के इंचार्ज हैं.
So in one generation, from poverty to not wealth, but comfortable living and a proper job with good influence.
So एक ही पीढ़ी है जिसमें बहुत ही गरीबी से लेकर बहुत अमीर भले ही नहीं है, लेकिन बहुत ही बड़े परिवर्तन का जीवन, बहुत जिम्मेदारी का जीवन, ये परिवर्तन मैंने देखा.
And he has three very fine sons, one of whom is studying in England.
और उनके बहुत अच्छे तीन पुत्र हैं, जिनमें से एक इंग्लैंड में पढ़ रहा है.
Now, I wondered, well, what has made this possible?
मैं सोच रहा था कि ऐसा कैसे संभव हुआ?
Well, obviously, his own hard work.
निश्चित ही उनका उनके स्वयं के परिश्रम के पीछे है.
He's obviously worked really hard to make the best of his circumstances.
निश्चित ही उन्होंने इस परिस्थिति का अच्छा उपयोग करने के लिए बहुत परिश्रम किया.
But I'm sure many of his ancestors had worked really hard.
लेकिन मुझे पूरा विश्वास है कि उनके जो पूर्वज हैं, वो भी उन्होंने भी बहुत सारा परिश्रम किया है.
So what made the difference?
तो इसे फर्क किस बात से हुआ?
Baba Sahib.
Baba Sahib.
Because Baba Sahib lived, because Baba Sahib fought for the uplift of the oppressed people, his life is now so different.
Baba Sahib ne jis tarah ka jeevan jiya, Baba Sahib ne logon ke udhar ke liye jis tarah se kaam kiya, usi ki wajah se inke jeevan ko jeevan mein aisa karna sambhav hua.
The life of his children is so different.
Unke bachchon ka jeevan itna alag hai.
This is the miracle that Baba Sahib has brought about.
और ये बाबा साहब ने निर्माण की हुई एक एक तरह की जादू है.
And I know many, many stories like that.
और मुझे पता है कि बहुत सारी ऐसी ही कहानियां हैं.
So this made me very inspired indeed.
और इससे मैं बहुत ही प्रेरित हुआ.
So that one man can change the lives of millions of people is very inspiring indeed.
और एक व्यक्ति लाखों लोगों के जीवन में कैसे परिवर्तन ला सकता है, इस बात को देखना बहुत ही प्रेरणादायी है.
Because of Baba Sahib's life, he gave inspiration and courage.
Baba Sahib ke jeevan ki wajah se unhe prerna mili, unhe dhairya mila.
And Baba Sahib has been one of the main influences in bringing about political and social change in India.
Baba Sahib bharat mein samajik aur rajkeeya parivartan lane ke liye ek bahut hi mahatvapurna aisa prabhav dala hai.
And yes, I found this very inspiring indeed, and it reinforced my faith and confidence in Baba Sahib and his work.
और ऐसे उदाहरण से मैं बहुत ही प्रभावित होता हूँ, और बाबा साहब पर मेरा जो विश्वास है वो और भी मजबूत होता है.
But two things occurred to me.
दो बातें मेरे मन में निर्माण हुई.
It's very, very good that so many people have benefited from Baba Sahib in this way.
ये बहुत अच्छी बात है कि बहुत सारे लोगों को बाबा साहब की वजह से बहुत फायदा हुआ है.
But I think that increasingly the younger generations are not so much in touch with what Baba Sahib has done.
और एक बात मैंने देखी है कि अभी की जो पीढ़ी है वो बाबा साहब ने जो कुछ किया है उसके सीधे संपर्क में नहीं है.
They benefited from the work.
बाबा साहब के कार्य से उनका उनको लाभ हुआ है.
But they haven't seen the process that's led up to it.
लेकिन जिस प्रक्रिया से वो यहाँ तक पहुंचे हैं, अभी इनको फायदा हो रहा है, उसके बारे में मुझे ज्यादा पता नहीं.
So it's very, very important that we keep alive Baba Sahib's achievement for the younger generations.
और इससे बहुत महत्वपूर्ण बात है कि आज की इस युवा पीढ़ी के लिए बाबा साहब ने जो कुछ किया उस बात को जीवित रखना.
But there's something else we need to remember.
और भी एक बात याद करने की हमें जरूरत है.
Yes, so many people have benefited.
ये बात सही है कि बहुत सारे लोगों को फायदा हुआ है.
But there are still millions, hundreds of millions of people in India who have not yet benefited.
लेकिन भारत में लाखों करोड़ों ऐसे लोग हैं जिनको अभी तक लाभ नहीं हुआ.
So there's still a great deal of work to be done.
इसलिए बहुत बड़ा काम अभी भी करना है.
So just because we as individuals may have reached a degree of comfortable living, we should not forget that many millions have not.
केवल हमें अपना जीवन बहुत ही सुखकारक हुआ है, इसलिए हमें ऐसा नहीं सोचना चाहिए कि बस इतना हुआ है, क्योंकि बहुत सारे लोगों का जीवन और सुख में नहीं है.
So I found that very interesting, very inspiring, and very instructive.
और ये बात मुझे बहुत ही सिखाने वाली और बहुत ही प्रेरणा देने वाली है.
And it reinforced for me the fact that we need to keep Baba Sahib alive.
और मुझे फिर से इस बात और ज्यादा प्रभावित लगी, आवश्यक लगी कि बाबा साहब को जीवित रखना हमारे लिए बहुत आवश्यक है.
And especially we need to keep him alive by following in his footsteps.
और हां करके उनके कदमों पर चलकर हमें उन्हें जीवित रखने की जरूरत है.
That's the only way we can keep him alive.
और ये एक ही तरीका है बाबा साहब को जीवित रखने का.
There's no good putting a picture on the wall and thinking you're keeping Baba Sahib alive.
ऐसा केवल अपने दीवार पर बाबा साहब का चित्र टांग कर ये सोचने में कोई अर्थ नहीं है कि बस बाबा साहब इसी वजह से जीवित हैं.
There's no good just saying Baba Sahib this, Baba Sahib that.
बाबा साहब ऐसे हैं, बाबा साहब ऐसे थे, ऐसा बोलने में कोई अर्थ नहीं है.
You have to actually follow in his footsteps.
वास्तव में हमें बाबा साहब के कदमों पर आज चलना है.
So, let's get on with it.
इसलिए चलिए.
चलिए. Let's follow in his footsteps.
चलो हम उनके कदमों पर चलते हैं.
And we've seen where his feet are going. We've seen that they're going towards the Buddha. And we've seen that they're following the path of the Bodhisattva. They're following a path that is lived not just for oneself, but for all beings. The goal of the Bodhisattva, the goal of Baba Sahib, is not just personal enlightenment. The Baba Sahib didn't just think, oh well, I will develop myself and then aram. He didn't just think, well, I'll sit back and relax. He just worked really hard for the sake of everybody. So that's the idea that the Bodhisattva is inspired by. Developing oneself. Working on one's own mind. But creating the kingdom of righteousness. That is the Bodhisattva path. That is where Baba Sahib's footsteps lead. And that is what I take it you've all decided you want to do. I asked you this last night. You're still here today, so you must have decided this is what you want to do. So the question now comes, how do we follow the Bodhisattva path? Now before we can answer this, I think we need to understand a bit more deeply about the Bodhisattva. We need to understand more deeply about the Bodhisattva. We need especially to understand what the mind of the Bodhisattva is like. The Bodhisattva's mind is quite different from our own. The Bodhisattva sees things in a different way. He feels differently about things. He thinks differently. He wants different things. Of course, the Bodhisattva lives in the same world as us. But he sees that world from a very different point of view. It's a bit like the difference between being on the ground and being in an aeroplane. I had the good fortune to fly into Nagpur just a few days ago. And well, when you're up in the air, you're right up in the blue sky. And you just see a whole mass of houses beneath you. I could just see the Dikshabhumi. But you're right above it all and you just look down on it.
आप सभी चीजों के बहुत ही ऊंचाई पर होते हैं, ऊपर होते हैं और वहां से आप नीचे हैं।
And everything is clear and blue.
और हर चीज जो है बहुत ही स्पष्ट होती है, नीली।
But then down you come onto the land.
और फिर आप जमीन पर उतरते हैं।
And well, it's quite different down there.
और जमीन पर उतरते हैं तो बहुत कुछ अलग होता है।
There's so many people, there's smoke, there's crowd and so on.
बहुत सारे लोग दिखाई देते हैं, बहुत सारा धुआं होता है।
It's quite a different sort of experience. So we're on the ground, the Bodhisattva is up in the aeroplane. His experience is quite different to ours. So let's try to get inside the mind of the Bodhisattva. In what way is the Bodhisattva's mind different to ours? Well, you could put it in one word. The Bodhisattva is less selfish. And in fact, the Bodhisattva is not selfish at all. We see things all the time from our own point of view. Quite automatically, quite spontaneously, we think, what can we get out of this? What benefit, what pleasure is there in this for me? Or we think, well, what painful will come from this? What harm could come from this? And then our feelings come in response to that. If we see pleasure and benefit, then we feel craving. If we see pain and harm, then we feel hatred. So all our thinking, all our feeling, all our willing is based on this. In English we have an expression, looking after number one.
अंग्रेजी में कहावत है, number one के, number one का ख्याल रखना।
So who's number one?
Number one कौन है?
Me.
मैं number one.
Of course you all think it's you, but it's me.
आप सभी सोचते हैं कि आप number one हैं, लेकिन मैं number one हूँ।
So each of us thinks this is number one.
हम में से हर एक सोचता है कि मैं number one हूँ।
But well, actually, that's just our habit, just our way of thinking. And this is the selfish mind. Of course, we all of us do act generously, we also feel maitri. But most of the time, we're firmly based in ourselves. I comes first. I don't know whether you've ever had seen people with those mirror glasses on.
Mirror glasses.
Glasses that are like mirrors.
Yeah?
Do you get those here?
No.
Oh. Well, in the UK, there were dark glasses that were like mirrors when you looked at them from the outside.
So, even like some car comes here.
So it's very strange when you're talking to somebody with those glasses on. You're talking to them, but you're seeing yourself. In each of their eyes, you see a little figure of yourself. Well, actually, that is the way it is. Even when we're talking to people and they haven't got those glasses on, we're actually looking at ourselves. That's the way we work. We see things in terms of ourselves. No, this is okay, this is quite natural, this is quite healthy. If we didn't do this, we'd probably not live a long life.
अगर हम ऐसा नहीं करेंगे तो शायद हम लंबी उम्र नहीं होंगे।
But it's quite limited, and the Bodhisattva goes beyond this.
लेकिन ये काफी मर्यादित ऐसी बात है, बोधिसत्व इससे बाहर निकलता है।
Now, of course, with I goes mine.
अभी मैं के साथ मेरा चलता है।
My house.
मेरा घर।
My family.
मेरा परिवार।
My people.
मेरे लोग।
आपने लोग। We think like that. And I remember when I was a little boy, the British Empire still existed. I was born after Indian independence, just by 4 months. But there's still Britain had a big empire.
ब्रिटेन का बहुत बड़ा साम्राज्य था।
So people used to show us the map of the world.
तो लोग हमें दुनिया का नक्शा दिखाते थे।
And they'd show us all the parts that were colored red. They'd show us all the parts that were colored red.
और वो दुनिया के नक्शे पर वो सभी हिस्से दिखाते थे जिसको लाल रंग से रंगा गया।
They were all part of the British Empire.
और कहते कि ये सब ब्रिटिश साम्राज्य का हिस्सा।
So a little boy, I think, ah, they're all mine.
और मैं छोटा बच्चा था और मैं सोचता था ये सब लाल रंग जो है ये मेरा।
They all belong to me. And I'd feel very, very proud. Only later did I realize that those people didn't want to be part of the British Empire. Only later did I realize they shouldn't be part of the British Empire. But we've got that sort of imperial mind.
लेकिन हमारा इस तरह का साम्राज्यवादी मन कार्य करता है।
We think this is mine, that's mine.
हम सोचते हैं ये मेरा है, वो मेरा है।
This goes with I.
और ये मैं के साथ चलता है।
And well, yes, but the we all do this to some extent.
हम सभी कुछ न कुछ मात्रा में ऐसा करते हैं।
And of course, what happens is other people say, no, it's mine.
लेकिन बात ऐसी होती है कि दूसरे लोग भी बोलते हैं कि नहीं, ये मेरा है।
So then we fight.
और फिर हम झगड़ा करते हैं।
And then there's lots of quarrel.
बहुत सारे झगड़े इसके निर्माण होते हैं।
So, yes, this is the way we go. This is what the Buddha called the I maker. Ahankara. That means what makes I. The I maker constructs I.
जो ये अहम बनाने वाला है इस अहम को बनाता है।
It's an automatic instinct within us to create an I.
हमारे अंदर एक उत्स्फूर्त ऐसी प्रेरणा होती है इस अहम को बनाने की।
Along with the ahankara goes the mamankara.
अब अहंकार के साथ में ममंकार भी चलता है।
Which means that which makes mine.
अब ये ममंकार मतलब जो मेरा बनाता है।
So this is in us, this is our instinct.
तो ये हमारे मन में अंदर बसी हुई बात।
We think I.
हम सोचते हैं कि मैं।
Not I.
ये मैं नहीं।
Okay, mine.
मेरा।
And in this way we divide our experience.
और इस तरह से हम अपने अनुभव को विभाजित करते हैं।
I, not I.
मैं नहीं।
Mine, not mine.
मेरा ये मेरा नहीं।
And well, this is the way we go. We can even think of my spiritual development. We can even think, well, I am making spiritual progress. So we can think, well, I'm doing my Maitri Bhavana. You can sit there developing Maitri. And you think, this is my Maitri. How good I am at Maitri. And then somebody comes and disturbs you and you get very annoyed. Get it, go away, you're disturbing my Maitri. So in this way, we even make spiritual life into my spiritual life. Well, the Bodhisattva's mind is quite different. There's no ahankara. There's no mamankara.
Yahan mamankar bhi nahi hota.
Sarva log, apne log.
है.
Doesn't think of I, doesn't think of mine. Of course, the Bodhisattva can say, well, I'm going to give a talk now. Or I'm going to listen to a talk now. But he doesn't think of that with attachment and possession. It doesn't put self first. Now this is very difficult for us to get inside. Perhaps sometimes we have some experience of going beyond I. Now there's some quite interesting exercises that you can do which show you the ahankara and give you some experience of getting beyond it. And there's one very famous exercise which is used to develop the Bodhisattva mind. And this is called the exchange of self and other. The exchange of self and other. So maybe I'm doing this practice. And I decide to exchange myself with Kumarajiv. So instead of thinking, what's going to be good for me, I think, what's going to be good for Kumarajiv? Usually we're all the time thinking in terms of what benefits us. So instead of that, I think, what's going to benefit Kumarajiv? Well, you try thinking like that. Even to think like that for a few minutes is quite difficult. It's quite difficult to keep on putting the other person first. And so this gives you an idea what the Bodhisattva's mind is like. The Bodhisattva all the time thinks of other people. The Bodhisattva all the time empathizes with their needs. The Bodhisattva all the time thinks, well, that person, they need that in order to be happy. What can I do to help them? This is the way the Bodhisattva's mind works. I should just mention at this point, in a few days' time, we'll be having some experience of non-violent communication. And this is really Bodhisattva practice. It's a way of learning how to put other people first. So in this kind of practice of exchanging self and other, you learn to identify other people as having needs of their own. So you go beyond yourself. You enter into the life of other people. And you experience selflessness. This is the mind of the Bodhisattva. So of course the mind of the Bodhisattva is characterized by Maitri. It's characterized by Karuna. The Bodhisattva feels for all beings. Whoever is there, whatever their attitude to the Bodhisattva feels Maitri.
वह कोई भी हो बोधिसत्व के बारे में वो किसी भी तरह से सोचे बोधिसत्व उसके प्रति मैत्री ही रखता है।
Usually we're defending ourselves, we're trying to get what's good for us.
आमतौर पर हम अपना बचाव करते हैं और हमारे लिए जो अच्छा है उसे ही लेने की हम कोशिश करते हैं।
But a bodhisattva, one who's really successful in being a bodhisattva, even loves those who are hurting.
तो जो बोधिसत्व है,
you're hurting him.
तो लोग उसको भले ही कुछ दुख दे दर्द दे फिर भी वो उसके बारे में मैत्री से ही सोचता है।
There's that very famous passage in the Buddhist scriptures where the Buddha talks about somebody who's been caught by thieves.
एक बहुत ही प्रसिद्ध ऐसा सूत्र है पाली स्रोत में जिस जहां बुद्ध बताते हैं कि ऐसा व्यक्ति भिक्षु जिसे चोर ने पकड़ा।
And he says, well, just imagine you've been caught by bandits. Just imagine they start cutting your limbs off. And the Buddha says, if you're really a disciple of mine, you will feel only maitri for them. That's extremely hard.
That's...
It seems impossible to us.
हमारे लिए तो ये बिल्कुल असंभव बात लगती है।
But that's the mind of the bodhisattva.
लेकिन ये बोधिसत्व का मन।
That's what we're trying to achieve.
और इसी को हासिल करने की हम कोशिश करते हैं।
You even love your enemies.
आप अपने शत्रु पर भी प्रेम करते हैं।
Of course, you may need to stop them from harming you because harming you is harming others.
और इसी भी उन्हें आप रोकते हैं, आप तो आपको भी दुख देने से क्योंकि
Harming you is harming other people.
क्योंकि आपको कुछ दर्द देना मतलब दूसरे लोगों को दर्द देना।
If you're a bodhisattva, you're living for the benefit of other beings.
अगर आप बोधिसत्व है तो दूसरों के भलाई के लिए फायदे के लिए आप जीते हैं।
So if anybody harms you, they're harming living beings.
तो इसलिए अगर कोई आपको नुकसान करता है, आपको दर्द पहुंचाता है, तो प्राणियों को वह दर्द पहुंचाता है।
So you should try to stop them.
इसलिए उन्हें आपको रोकना चाहिए।
But you don't do it with hatred, you do it with maitri.
लेकिन आप ऐसा द्वेष से नहीं करते, आप ऐसा मैत्री से करते।
Now this is a very high level indeed.
और ये बहुत ही ऊंचा स्तर है।
And we've got a lot of work to do to get there.
और वहां तक पहुंचने के लिए हमें बहुत सारे करने की जरूरत है।
But it gives us some idea what the mind of the bodhisattva is really like.
लेकिन इससे कुछ कल्पना हमें आ सकती है कि बोधिसत्व का मन असली में कैसा होगा।
The mind of the bodhisattva is the mind of maitri.
बोधिसत्व का मन या मैत्री का मन।
When you feel maitri, you're not thinking of yourself, you're thinking of the others.
जब आपको आपके मन में मैत्री होती है, तो आप केवल अपना ही विचार नहीं करते, आप दूसरों का भी करते हैं।
Now, there's something a bit strange here.
तो एक बात थोड़ी सी विचित्र है यहाँ पर।
Something a bit difficult to understand.
और ऐसी बातें जो समझने के लिए मुश्किल है।
The mind of the bodhisattva is a mind without self.
बोधिसत्व का मन
So if it's a mind without self, whose mind is it? If you're not thinking in terms of yourself, well then whose mind is it? Well, this is a bit paradoxical. It's not your mind, it's not my mind.
ये आपका मन नहीं है या मेरा मन नहीं है।
But it's not somebody else's mind either.
लेकिन ये किसी तीसरे का भी मन नहीं है।
It's as if it's a mind that's as it were you experience in this body, but you don't experience it as I.
तो ये ऐसा मन है जैसे कि आपको आप इसे अपने शरीर में अनुभव कर रहे हैं, लेकिन मैं करके इसका अनुभव आप नहीं कर रहे।
Now we have some experience of this sort of thing.
तो इस तरह का कुछ अनुभव हमें मिलता है।
When you really do experience maitri, you go beyond yourself.
जब आप सही में मैत्री का अनुभव करते हैं, तो आप अपने पार।
If you've got really good friends and you enter into deep communication with them, you're not thinking I.
जब आपका बहुत अच्छा मित्र है, आप संपर्क में उनके पूरे साथ सम्मिलित हो गए, तो आप मैं इस बारे में नहीं सोचते।
You have an experience of mind that goes beyond my mind.
तो
you have an experience of mind that goes beyond my mind. Sometimes it can even be as if you're sort of lifted into another dimension.
तो कभी-कभी ऐसा भी होता है जैसे आपको किसी दूसरे ही आयाम में यह लेगा।
And what you're experiencing is not as it was before. It's not the mind that you usually experience. At the same time, it's not somebody else's mind. It's not some God who's taken you over or anything like that. It's a mind that knows only Maitri, that knows only love for others. So something arises within you that's not you. But it's not anybody else's either. This is very difficult to grasp. It's the mind of the Bodhisattva. It's what's called the Bodhicitta. It's the mind of the Bodhisattva that drives onwards towards full enlightenment. So if we want to follow the path of the Bodhisattva, we need to try to develop the Bodhicitta. If we want to follow Baba Saheb's footsteps, we need to develop the Bodhicitta. A way of experiencing the world that is not selfish. A mind that is not our mind, but it's not anybody else's mind either. This is the Bodhicitta. It's this that we need to bring about. The Bodhisattva path begins with the arising of the Bodhicitta. So we're trying to bring into being, we're trying to allow to come into being a completely different state of consciousness. And yes, this is quite difficult to understand. But yes, we get some experience of it sometimes. But through following the Bodhisattva path, we're trying to make that our usual way of experiencing. You can get some sense of this when you, for instance, think about of Baba Saheb. I know so many stories of Baba Saheb's kindness. There's a wonderful story that one of our Dharmacharis tells. It made a big impression on me. Dharmachari Shilendra Bodhi, when he was a small boy, was trying to get some education. And he was a very poor boy, just brought up in the village. And he couldn't continue his education, he didn't have the money. And he wanted to continue his education. So he thought, I know what, I'll go and see Baba Saheb. So he went to Bombay. He went to Rajgir. Just a small boy, just scruffy and thin. And he took that, he went inside. And he asked, well, where is Baba Saheb? And one of Baba Saheb's sons said, well, he's upstairs in the library. So Shilendra Bodhi told me he went up the stairs. And you can imagine he was very, very nervous. He just came from the village, so he's very, very nervous. He didn't know what to expect.
और वो देहात से आया था उसे पता नहीं था कि आप कौन सी अपेक्षा की जाए
and baba saheb said what baba saheb's son said just go in
baba saheb ke putra ne kaha ki jao aap andar chale jao
so he went inside and there was baba saheb sitting at a desk reading a book
dekha ki baba saheb apne table ke piche baithe hue hain
and he was concentrating very deeply on his book
aur baba saheb apne granth ka vachan karne mein kafi gehrai se lage hue the
so this little boy just didn't know what to do
ab ye chote bachcho ko pata nahi tha ki ab kya karna chahiye
so he just stood there
to wahi par khada rahe
and eventually baba saheb looked up
aur aapne baba saheb ne kitab se apni nazar hatayi aur upar dekha
now I like to read myself
to mujhe pasand hai vachan karna bahut pasand hai
and when I'm reading I don't like being interrupted
aur jab main vachan karta hu tab mujhe kisi ne aakar kuch beech mein kuch rukao aur mujhe acha nahi lagta
if people interrupt me I can sometimes feel quite annoyed
agar log mujhe is tarah se kuch rukawat paida karte hain to mujhe kafi gussa bhi aata hai
so I think well if I was sitting there and this small boy came I'd be rather go away
ab mujhe gussa ki agar main wahan baitha hota kitab padh raha hota aur koi chota ladka samne aake mere khada rehta samay kaise nikal jata udhar chala jata
but baba saheb said what can I do for you
lekin baba saheb ne kaha ki ha main kya karu
and apparently he was immediately friendly and kind and considerate to him
aur turant baba saheb ne bahut hi prem se pyaar se us bacche ke saath baat
ki Shilendra Bodhi explained what he needed
Shilendra Bodhi ne baba saheb ko bataya ki mujhe kya chahiye
baba saheb immediately took some paper and wrote a letter for him
baba saheb ne ek kagaz uthaya aur us bacche ke liye ek patra likha
and sent him off to a hostel
aur unhe ek hostel mein bheja
but that to me is the mind of a bodhisattva
so mere liye ye bodhisattva ka mind hai
you see somebody in need you just respond
aap dusre kisi ko zarurat mein dekhte hain aur aap seedha use pratisad dete hain
you don't think look I'm reading that's I'm doing that you go away
aap aisa nahi sochte ki main apna kaam kar raha hu main vachan kar raha hu aap chale jaiye
you think there is somebody in need how can I help
aap ye sochte hain ki yahan koi khada hai kisi zarurat mein hai main usko kaise madad kar sakta
so that's that selfless mind
aur ye hai niswarth mind
that's that mind of the bodhisattva
aur ye bodhisattva ka
so how are we going to develop that mind
so is man ka vikas hum apne andar kaise karenge
if we're going to follow baba saheb we've got to develop the same kind of mind as he has
agar hame baba saheb ke raah par chalna hai to baba saheb ne jaisa man tha waisa hi humne bhi kosish karna chahiye
we've got to open ourselves up to the bodhicitta
aur hame apne aap ko bodhicitta ke prati khula karna chahiye
well the Buddhist tradition has a lot to tell us about developing the bodhisattva path
bodh parampara mein bahut kuch bataya jata hai bodhicitta ke marg ko vikasit karne ke bare mein
and traditionally there are three stages
aur paramparik drishti se teen charanon ka marg bataya jata hai
first of all you cultivate an attitude of receptivity to the bodhicitta
तो सबसे पहले बोधिचित्त के प्रति ग्रहणशीलता का दृष्टिकोण आप विकसित कर रहे हैं
देन यू टेक द वाउ ऑफ द बोधिसत्व
और उसके बाद में आप बोधिसत्व की प्रतिज्ञा ग्रहण करते हैं
एंड इफ यू रिमेंबर दिस वाउ इज द सेकंड टू लास्ट पैसेज इन द बुद्ध एंड हिज धम्म
और अगर आपको पता होगा तो वो भगवान बुद्ध और उनका धम्म इस ग्रंथ में ये आखिरी से दूसरे पन्ने पर ये बोधिसत्व की प्रतिज्ञा लिखी हुई है
And in this vow you promise to gain enlightenment for the benefit of all beings.
और इस प्रतिज्ञा में सभी प्राणियों के लिए बुद्धत्व प्राप्ति की आप प्रतिज्ञा करते हैं.
So you make yourself receptive then you take the vow.
तो सबसे पहले आप बोधिसत्व के प्रति अपने आप को ग्रहणशील बनाते हैं और बाद में वो प्रतिज्ञा लेते हैं.
That vow being the expression of the bodhicitta.
और ये प्रतिज्ञा बोधिसत्व का बोधिसत्व की अभिव्यक्ति है प्रकट कर.
And then you practice the perfections
aur uske baad aap paramita ka acharan karte hain
there are two different lists of perfections
paramita ki do alag alag sushiyan
hai there's the 6 perfections and the 10 perfections
ek 6 paramita hai aur 10 paramita hai
in this series we'll be looking at the 6 perfections that baba saheb looks at in the buddha and his dhamma
baba saheb ne bhagwan buddha aur unka dhamma mein jo 6 paramita di hai usi छह पात्रताओं के बारे में हम बात करने वाले हैं
सो ओवर दीस नेक्स्ट डेज वी विल बी लुकिंग एट दीस थ्री स्टेजेस ऑफ द बोधिसत्व पाथ
और आने वाले दिनों में बोधिसत्व मार्ग के इन तीन चरणों को
And we'll be trying to see what we can do to develop the bodhicitta. So tonight I want to talk about developing, cultivating that attitude of receptivity. So what does developing an attitude of receptivity mean? Well, just imagine you're having some food. And your plate is full. And you see that, well, there's not quite enough food there for you. You're going to want more later. But before food, more food can go onto your plate, some of it has got to go off. You've got to eat some. There's got to be room on your plate if more food is going to go onto it. Or you could put it another way, if you want more tea, you've got to have your cup empty. So you need to make yourself receptive. Or you could use another metaphor. If you want a seed to grow, you've got to plow the soil. If you want a seed to grow, you've got to plow the soil. That is, if we want the bodhicitta to arise, we've got to cultivate our minds. So traditionally, we engage in a number of practices that make our minds receptive. Often in Buddhist tradition, these are described in puja. The special devotional practices we do, which cultivate this attitude of receptivity. We know that in Buddhism, puja is not trying to get a god to give us what we want. It's not trying to bribe the gods with coconuts. You're trying to create the right sort of atmosphere and attitude so that the bodhicitta arises. You're trying to create the attitude so that a higher state of consciousness arises within you. So traditionally there's seven different kinds of practice here. And of course, many of you will be doing some of these. But perhaps when you hear them spoken about in this context, you'll have a new understanding of what you're doing. So the first stage is offering. It's making offerings to the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. That's what we began our program with here. We offered a garland to Baba Sahib. A garland to the Bodhisattva. We offered flowers to the Buddha. Incense, candles. This is the tradition. We offer to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So why do we do this? Well, we do it so often, maybe we don't really think about it. Maybe we just like doing it. But what we're doing is a very, very important spiritual practice. It has a strong effect on your own mind. So it's worth, this is a bit of homework. When you make offerings, just watching what happens to your mind. So tonight when you go back home, make an offering of flowers to the shrine. And see how you feel. Do you feel different after doing that? In what way do you feel different? Well, I think I could say that you almost certainly would feel very uplifted, very inspired, and very open to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. If you're open to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then the bodhicitta can arise. If you're not open to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, how can the Bodhisattva's mind arise in you? How can you develop the mind of the Bodhisattva for yourself? So here's your first piece of homework. Make an offering. While you're offering, reflect on what you're experiencing. See what changes take place within you. And see that you're opening yourself up to a completely new state of consciousness. If you can open your heart through offering, then the bodhicitta can arise. I must say that this is something that you in India are very, very good at. My friends who've been to England will know that in England we're a bit mean. We don't treat guests as well as you treat them here. In India, you treat guests like kings. It's amazing for us coming here to India. Yes, you feel like a Maharaja. Sitting on your gadi with your crown. And everybody's just serving you and helping you. And I must say, sometimes I feel so embarrassed. I know that in England, somebody comes to visit us and say, "Oh, hi, go and make yourself some tea." We don't treat guests nearly as well as you do here. And here you make offerings so beautifully. Well, last night I got given the biggest garland I've ever seen. And this is your Indian habit. Now, there are things about India that, well, maybe need to change. But that's definitely not something that should change. We Westerners, we benefit so much from this atmosphere of hospitality and offering. So it's that same spirit that you direct towards the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas.
निर्माण करते हैं.
Now, I don't know whether many of you know this, but the whole tradition of having images is a Buddhist one in India.
अगर आपको शायद पता है, मुझे नहीं पता, लेकिन प्रतिमा रखने की पहली परंपरा की शुरुआत बौद्धों से हुई है भारत
में. Long before images were used in other religious customs, the Buddhists were using them. Long before images were used in other religious traditions, the Buddhists were using them.
तो बाकी किसी भी धर्म में या परंपरा में मूर्ति या प्रतिमा को रखने की शुरुआत हुई होने के कई वर्ष पहले बौद्धों में भी.
So what is the image for?
तो ये प्रतिमा किसके लिए है?
Well, it's a reminder of the Buddha.
तो ये बुद्ध की याद.
When we see the image, we think of the Buddha.
जब हम इस प्रतिमा को देखते हैं, हम बुद्ध को याद करते हैं.
When we think of the Buddha, well, the Buddha is there.
जब हम बुद्ध के बारे में सोचते हैं, तो बुद्ध वहाँ होते हैं.
We, as it were, bring the Buddha to us.
एक तरह हम बुद्ध को अपने तरफ लाते हैं.
So when we have a Buddha image in front of us, we're behaving as if we were with the Buddha.
तो जब बुद्ध की प्रतिमा हमारे सामने होती है, तो हम ऐसा व्यवहार करते हैं जैसे कि बुद्ध ही हमारे सामने है.
And the tradition is that you treat the Buddha as an honored guest.
तो परंपरा ऐसी है कि बुद्ध को आप एक सम्माननीय अतिथि के जैसा उनका स्वागत करते हैं.
So you make the Buddha welcome, you give him offerings, flowers, incense, candles.
तो आप बुद्ध को, बुद्ध का स्वागत करते हैं, आप बुद्ध को मोमबत्ती, अगरबत्ती और फूल अर्पण करते हैं.
And in this way, you develop that attitude of receptivity to the Buddha mind, to the Bodhisattva mind.
तो इस तरह से आप बुद्ध के मन को या बोधिसत्व के मन के प्रति अपने अंदर ग्रहणशीलता निर्माण करते हैं.
So that's the first practice in developing receptivity to the Bodhisattva.
तो बोधिसत्व के प्रति ग्रहणशीलता निर्माण करने की ये पहली साधना है.
The second practice is salutation.
दूसरी साधना है जो है वंदना कहते हैं.
And again, this is something you all know about.
और इसके बारे में बहुत सारे लोगों को पता है.
It's bowing before the Buddha.
ये है बुद्ध के सामने नतमस्तक.
It's touching the ground with the five limbs.
आपके पंचांग से आप भूमि को स्पर्श करते
हैं. But what are you doing when you do that?
तो आप जब ऐसा करते हैं, आप क्या करते हैं?
Second piece of homework.
ये दूसरा आपका गृह पाठ है.
It's going to be a busy night. You've got a lot of homework tonight.
आपकी रात आपकी चाय बहुत काम की है आपको. बहुत सारा काम आपको करना पड़ेगा.
So you bow before the Buddha.
तो आप बुद्ध के सामने नतमस्तक होते हैं.
What do you feel?
आपको क्या लगता है?
What change takes place in your mind? I think bowing to the Buddha is one of my favorite practices.
मुझे लगता है कि बुद्ध के सामने झुकना, नतमस्तक होना, ये मेरी सबसे अच्छी पसंद की साधना है.
It gives me such a positive feeling, bowing before the Buddha.
बुद्ध के सामने नतमस्तक होकर मेरे अंदर बहुत ही अच्छी विधायक भावना निर्माण होती है.
Well, what are you doing?
तो आप क्या करते हैं?
Well, of course, you're representing the fact that the Buddha is up there, you're down there.
तो एक तरह से आप इस वास्तव को देखते हैं कि बुद्ध ऊंचे हैं, वहां पर हैं और मैं यहाँ हूँ.
You're recognizing that the Buddha is greater than you are.
आप इस बात को पहचानते हैं कि बुद्ध आपसे बहुत श्रेष्ठ है.
That means then you can be open to the Buddha's mind.
इसका मतलब ऐसा करने के बाद आप बुद्ध के मन के प्रति अपने आप को खुला करते हैं.
If you think you're just equal to the Buddha, you're not going to learn from the Buddha.
अगर आप ऐसा सोचते हैं कि आप और बुद्ध बराबर ही हैं, तो आप बुद्ध से कुछ सीखने वाले नहीं हैं.
That's our Western way.
ये हमारा पश्चिमी तरीका सोचते हैं.
You come in, you say, "Hi, Buddha." How are you doing?
कैसे चल रहा है?
Then you sit down with your feet on the shrine.
और आप बैठते हैं और आपके आपके जो पैर हैं, पूजा समाप्त करते हैं.
Well, if you have that sort of attitude, you're not going to learn from the Buddha.
तो इस तरह का दृष्टिकोण अगर आपका है, तो आप बुद्ध से कुछ सीखने वाले नहीं हैं.
You're going to think you're just as good as the Buddha.
तो आप ऐसे सोचेंगे कि आप और बुद्ध तरीके
हैं. You know, okay, yes, the Buddha can tell his story, then I'll tell my story.
तो ठीक है, बुद्ध अपनी कहानी बुद्ध को बता दे, तो बाद में मैं अपनी बताऊं.
And then you tell the Buddha all sorts of nonsense.
और फिर जो कुछ भी मूर्खता मेरी है, मैं बुद्ध को बता दूंगा.
And a little smile comes on the face of the Buddha.
बाद में बुद्ध के चेहरे पर थोड़ा सा स्मित आए.
But then, yes, if you have that sort of attitude, you won't learn anything.
तो अगर इस तरह का दृष्टिकोण आपका है, तो आप उससे कुछ सीखेंगे नहीं.
If you have that sort of attitude to Baba Sahib, you're not going to learn from him. You're not going to follow in his footsteps.
अगर बाबा साहब के प्रति आपका ऐसा दृष्टिकोण है, तो आप बाबा साहब से कुछ सीखेंगे नहीं, उनका उनकी राह पर आचरण नहीं कर पाएंगे.
But if you touch your head to the ground, you'll learn.
लेकिन अगर आप अपना मस्तक जमीन पर लगाते हैं, स्पर्श करते हैं, तो आप कहीं भी सीखेंगे.
So in this practice, we develop an attitude of receptivity to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We recognize how much greater they are than we. And this creates the ground on which the bodhicitta can arise. So we come to a third practice that you know about. I'm sure you've all realized already that you're doing quite a lot that's helping the bodhicitta to arise. Now it's not enough to make offerings, it's not enough to bow. That can be very good. But, well, you can just go on doing that without really changing very much. You not only have to reverence the Buddha and make offerings to the Buddha, you have to commit yourself to following the Buddha's teaching. So you have to go for refuge to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So this is the third practice. This is your third piece of homework. Recite the refuges and precepts. But of course, recite them mindfully. Be aware while you recite that you're committing yourself to becoming like the Buddha. And while you're reciting the refuges and precepts, see what happens to your mind. See what mood comes over your mind. And it will be a mood of determination, of commitment. And in this way, your worship and your salutation becomes a force that moves you forward. If we don't have that commitment, in a way we could be worshipping God, so we could be worshipping anything. But with that commitment, we transform bhakti into shraddha. So this is our third practice. And it's one that I'm sure that all of you engage in. And our fourth practice is one that perhaps is less familiar. But you may do it, but you probably do it more informally without realizing you're doing it. And this fourth practice is confession of faults. You get with your friend and you say, I've realized I've acted unskillfully. You reflect on the five precepts and you see, well, I've broken this precept, I've broken that precept. And you can even make this into a regular practice. You can quite often just make a practice of going through the precepts and confessing where you've gone wrong. Now, of course, this was a practice that, or is a practice that's used within the Bhikshu Sangha. And some people think, well, that's just for the Bhikshus. But no, we are not Bhikshus, we have to do it too. If we confess our faults, we will purify our minds.
वेदना करते हैं बताते हैं तो हम अपने मनों को शुद्ध कर सकते हैं.
You don't purify yourself by bathing in the Ganges. You don't, In fact, I read recently that the Ganges is the most polluted river in India. So if you bathe in the Ganges thinking you're going to make yourself pure, you probably catch some horrible disease. You purify yourself by confession of faults.
तो आप पापों की देखना करके पापों को बताकर आप अपने आप का शुद्धिकरण करते हैं.
When you confess, you relieve your mind of the discomfort, the remorse that comes from transgression.
आप जब देखना करते हैं पाप की तब आपके मन में जो पश्चाताप है या अस्वस्थता है उससे आप छुटकारा पाते हैं.
And well then next time you'll act more skillfully.
और अगली बार आप और अच्छा कुशल कार्य करने की कोशिश करेंगे.
So this practice is for everybody.
और ये साधना हर एक के लिए.
If you really want to develop the mind of the Bodhisattva, you need to purify your mind.
अगर आपको सही में बोधिसत्व जैसा बनना है तो आपको अपने मन को शुद्ध करना होगा.
And this practice is the way you do that.
और ये साधना इस ढंग से की जाती है.
So try to find friends who you can really open up yourself to.
आप ऐसे मित्र को ढूंढिए जिसके सामने आप खुला कर सकते हैं.
Just think about the precepts, think what you've broken.
और शीलों के बारे में सोचिए और आपने किसका भंग किया है इसके बारे में सोचिए.
We all break precepts.
हम सभी शीलों का भंग करते हैं.
I know that. I look at my own mind.
मुझे पता है मैं अपने मन की तरफ देखता हूं.
We may not break them in a big way, but we break them.
हम बहुत बड़ी मात्रा में उसको नहीं तोड़ते हम लेकिन हम तोड़ते हैं.
And sometimes we do break them in a big way.
और कभी-कभी हम
There's not one of us here, I'm sure, who's perfect in that way. So just be completely honest with each other and admit our shortcomings. And this will help us to practice the Dhamma much more rigorously.
और इसकी वजह से धम्म और ही शक्ति से आचरण करने के लिए हमें शक्ति मिल सकती है.
And it'll mean that the bodhicitta can arise within us.
और इसका मतलब हम बोधिचित्त हमारे अंदर निर्माण हो सकता है.
What are the precepts?
शील कौन से?
There's a description of the bodhicitta's mind.
तो बोधिचित्त
the mind of the bodhisattva.
बोधिसत्व के मन के यह वर्णन.
If you not keeping the precepts, the bodhisattva's mind will not be there.
अगर आप शीलों का आचरण नहीं करेंगे तो बोधिसत्व का मन नहीं होगा.
So, see what happens when you confess.
तो देखिए जब आप पाप देखना करते हैं तो क्या होता है?
See what you feel like when you confess.
जब आप पाप देखना करते हैं तो आपको कैसा लगता है?
It's very strange, but that practice of confession is a very positive one.
और बहुत ही विचित्र ऐसी बात है कि ये पाप देखना की जो साधना है बहुत ही विधायक ऐसी साधना है.
If you confess, you feel very light, very free, very happy.
अगर आप पाप देखना करते हैं तो आपको बहुत ही हल्का लगता है मुक्त लगता है.
Then it's quite strange that yes, you're admitting faults, you're admitting your remorse, but you feel very happy and free.
ये काफी विचित्र ऐसी बात है. आप तो अपनी गलती बताते हैं आप पश्चाताप को व्यक्त करते हैं और ऐसा करने के बाद आपको बड़ा मुक्त हुए जैसा लगता है.
Then there's a fifth practice.
और बाद में है पांचवी साधना.
And I really hope that you are practicing this already.
और मुझे पूरी आशा है कि आप इस साधना को पहले से ही करते हो.
It's called rejoicing in merits.
इसे पुण्यानुमोदन कहते हैं.
Actually, again, I think this is something that people are very, very good at in India.
और ये ऐसी बात है भारतीय लोग इसमें बहुत अच्छे हैं.
Unfortunately, you're also good at the opposite.
अब दुर्दैव की बात यह है कि इसके विरुद्ध बात में आप बहुत माहिर हैं.
The greater the virtue, the worse the fault.
अब जितना गुण सद्गुण अच्छा है उतना ही ये दुर्गुण भी है.
We're very good at finding fault.
हम दूसरों के दोष ढूंढने में बहुत अच्छे हैं.
Oh, you know, Kumarjee's translation, it's not very good, really. I mean, no, he doesn't always find the right word. He doesn't always laugh at my jokes. But we're very good at that. We're very good at finding fault with other people. If there was a gold medal at the Olympics for finding fault, well, the English and the Indians would be pretty fighting quite hard together. if there was a gold medal at the Olympics for
अगर ओलंपिक में अगर गोल्ड मेडल रखा होता तो ये अंग्रेजी और भारतीय लोगों को गोल्ड मेडल को पहले कमाते
I don't know who would win
पता नहीं कि ये दोनों में से कौन किसको पहले गोल्ड
we're very good at this in England too
क्योंकि इंग्लैंड में भी दूसरों का गोल्ड ढूंढने में बहुत लोग माहिर हैं
But I think we're rejoicing in merits is concerned India would take the gold medal
लेकिन मुझे पूरा विश्वास है कि अगर पुण्य अनुमोदन की बात आया है तो भारत को पहले गोल्ड मेडल
Just you're very, very good at rejoicing in people and praising them for what they've done.
So, आप लोग लोगों का उनके अच्छा करना और जो अच्छा किया है उसकी प्रशंसा करना आपका बहुत अच्छा गुण.
And just think how positive you feel when you do that.
और आप देखिए कि जब आप ऐसी किसी की प्रशंसा करते हैं तो आपको कितना विधायक भावना का अनुभव होता है.
What a wonderful translator Kumarajee is.
कुमारजी कितने अच्छे अनुवादक हैं.
Everything I say he brings out to you in such a sweet way.
और जो कुछ मैं कहता हूँ वो बहुत ही मीठे शब्दों में आपके सामने रखते
हैं. And he mirrors my feelings so well.
और वो मेरी भावनाओं को भी बहुत ही जैसे आईने का
So if you praise somebody, well, they get embarrassed. No, if you praise somebody, well, that is so pleasant for them. And you feel so much better too. So make this a practice. Every day, at least 5 rejoicings in merit.
तो हर दिन कम से कम 5 पुण्यानुमोदन करें।
I shall ask you tomorrow night whether you did 5 rejoicings in merits over the 24 hours.
तो मैं आपको कल शाम को पूछूंगा कि आपने पिछले 24 घंटे में क्या ये 5 लोगों का पुण्यानुमोदन किया है?
And while you're rejoicing in somebody's merits, see how you feel.
और जब आप दूसरे का पुण्यानुमोदन करते हैं, तो देखिए कि आपको कैसा लगता है?
And of course, if you rejoice in merits, that means you're appreciating good qualities.
तो निश्चित ही पुण्यानुमोदन करना मतलब आप दूसरों के अच्छे गुणों को देखते हैं, उसमें आनंद लेते हैं।
If you're appreciating good qualities, you can develop those qualities.
अगर आप उन गुणों को उनकी प्रशंसा करते हैं, उसको उसको स्वीकारते हैं, तो उनको आप अपने अंदर भी निर्माण करते हैं।
This is a very, very important practice indeed.
और ये बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण ऐसी साधना है।
We really need to appreciate and rejoice in the Bodhisattvas.
हमें हमेशा बुद्ध बोधिसत्वों में उनका पुण्यानुमोदन करना चाहिए।
And if we do that, the bodhicitta can arise.
और अगर आप ऐसा करते हैं, तो बोधिचित्त निर्माण होता है।
Then sixthly, there's entreaty and supplication.
और अंत में है entreaty and supplication. पुण्य
Well, if you want to learn from somebody, you have to ask them.
तो ये याचना करना ये छठी बात है. अगर आपको किसी से सीखना है, तो उसके लिए आपको दूसरों को पूछना चाहिए.
If people don't want to listen to you, you can't teach them.
अगर लोग आपसे आपको सुनना नहीं चाहते हैं, तो आप उनको सिखा नहीं सकते.
I quite amused to see recently in the town where I live.
मैं जिस शहर में रहता हूँ वहाँ पर एक बार मैंने देखी बड़ा मनोरंजन हुआ हमारा.
In the main street, sometimes some Christian priests start preaching.
एक मुख्य रास्ते पर कभी-कभी कुछ क्रिश्चियन पादरी जो है वहाँ सिखाना शुरू कर
देते. And people are rushing by, they're doing their shopping.
और लोग जो है गड़बड़ में अपना खरीदारी करते हुए इधर उधर जाते हैं.
But there was somebody be standing on a box with a microphone just preaching Christianity.
और कोई एक डब्बे पे खड़ा रहता है, अपने उसके हाथ में माइक्रोफोन रहता है और क्रिश्चियनिटी पर वो व्याख्यान देता है.
Nobody's listening.
कोई भी नहीं सुनता.
They're just rushing by.
लोग बस इधर से उधर चलते रहे.
And in fact, when they go by, they pull their coats up and they walk a bit faster.
और जैसे ही वो प्रोजेक्ट करता है, नजदीक लोग आते हैं, वो अपना कोट ऊपर और धक्के दे और तेजी से जाते हैं.
You can't preach to people if they don't want to listen.
तो अगर लोग नहीं सुनना चाहते हैं, तो आप उनको नहीं सिखा सकते.
I couldn't talk to you if you turned your backs and started talking to each other.
अगर आप लोगों ने मेरे तरफ मुंह फेर दिया और एक दूसरे बातें करने लगे, तो मैं आपको नहीं सिखा सकता.
You have to want to hear what I've got to say.
आपकी इच्छा होनी चाहिए कि जो कुछ मैं कह रहा हूँ आप सुनना चाहते.
In a sense, you have to ask for teaching.
तो एक अर्थ से आपको ये पूछना पड़ता है शिक्षा के.
So in this sixth practice, we ask for the teachings.
तो ये छठवीं ऐसी साधना है जहाँ हम शिक्षा के लिए याचना करते हैं.
As if we have to say, Baba Sahib, please tell me how to practice the Bodhisattva path.
तो ये ऐसी बात है जैसे हम कहते हैं कि बाबा साहब कृपया मुझे बताइए कि बोधिसत्व का मार्ग क्या है.
You could even just take the Buddha and his Dhamma and you can just mentally say, please Baba Sahib, teach me.
जैसे आप बुद्ध और उनका धम्म ये ग्रंथ अपने हाथ में पकड़ सकते हैं और कह सकते हैं अपने मन में कह सकते हैं कि बाबा साहब कृपया मुझे सिखाइए.
Then you open the book and you read.
और फिर आप किताब को खोलते हैं और पढ़ना शुरू करते हैं.
But you need that attitude of receptivity if you're genuinely to learn.
अगर आपको सही में सीखना है तो आपको इस तरह की ग्रहणशीलता का आपका दृष्टिकोण होना चाहिए.
And then the bodhicitta can arise.
और फिर बोधिचित्त निर्माण हो सकता है.
So try that practice.
तो इस आचरण को करने की कोशिश करें.
Just develop that attitude. Please teach me.
तो इस तरह का दृष्टिकोण विकसित करिए कि यह कहने का कि कृपया मुझे सिखाइए.
See what happens to your own mind.
देखिए तब आपके मन का क्या होगा.
So one more practice.
और एक साधन.
And this is known as transference of merits and self-surrender.
और इसको कहा जाता है कि अपने पुण्य का पुण्य को देना या आत्मसमर्पण करना.
Now, one of the things that happens when you engage in spiritual practice is you get much happier.
तो एक खास बात होती है जब आप आध्यात्मिक जीवन जीते हैं तो आप बहुत ज्यादा आनंदित बनने लगते हैं.
And you get lots and lots of energy.
आपको बहुत सारी शक्ति मिलने लगती है.
Your mind gets very clear.
आपका मन और ज्यादा स्पष्ट होने लगता है.
So then you can be very successful in the world.
और फिर आप दुनिया में काफी यशस्वी हो सकते हैं.
You can get anything you want.
आपको हर चीज मिल सकती है जो आपकी इच्छा है.
If you take your spiritual practice far enough, you will have lots and lots of worldly success.
अगर आपके आध्यात्मिक विकास को आप आगे ले जाते हैं तो ये भौतिक जो यश है आपको बहुत सारा मिल सकता है.
But is that why you're following the spiritual life?
Is that why?
Question.
तो क्या इसलिए आध्यात्मिक जीवन जीते हैं?
Well, no, you're practicing the Bodhisattva life for the benefit of other people.
नहीं, आप आध्यात्मिक जीवन दूसरे लोगों के भले के लिए जीते हैं.
So you have to think to yourself, whatever practice I'm doing, may it benefit others.
तो आप इस बात पर विश्वास करते हैं कि जो कुछ साधना मैं कर रहा हूं उसका दूसरों को फायदा होना चाहिए.
This is what Baba Sahib did.
और ऐसा बाबा साहब ने.
He gained so much in his own life.
बाबा साहब ने उनको अपने जीवन में बहुत कुछ मिला.
He worked so hard.
उन्होंने बहुत परिश्रम किए.
But he gave it all away.
लेकिन उन्होंने जो कुछ मिला वो सब कुछ दे दिया.
He gave it to other people.
उन्होंने दूसरों को सब कुछ दे दिया.
And this is the attitude we need to have.
और ऐसा ही दृष्टिकोण हमारा होना चाहिए.
So you think to yourself, whatever merits I've gained during this day, may they go for other people.
तो आप ऐसा सोचेंगे कि आज के दिन में मुझे जो कुछ पुण्य मिला है वो दूसरों का भला करने के लिए मैं देता हूं.
Whatever I benefited, may other people have that benefit.
जो कुछ फायदा मुझे हुआ है वो सब दूसरे लोगों के लिए.
This is Baba Sahib's attitude.
और ये बाबा साहब का दृष्टिकोण.
If we want to follow in his footsteps, this is what we need to do.
अगर हमें बाबा साहब के चरणों पर चलना है तो हमें ऐसा करना.
It's as if you're making yourself a tool for other people's happiness.
अगर हम चाहते हैं कि हम दूसरे लोगों के सुख का कारण बनना चाहते हैं तब हमें ऐसा करना.
So yes, you're saying, may I be of service to other people.
तो आप ऐसा कहते हैं कि दूसरों लोगों का मैं सेवक करूं.
May everything I have, everything I am, be for the benefit of others.
मैं जो कुछ हूं और मेरे पास जो कुछ है दूसरों के सेवा का कारण बने.
So you can develop this attitude.
तो हम इस तरह का दृष्टिकोण विकसित कर सकते.
You can say those words. You can say those words.
तो आप ये शब्दों से कह सकते हैं.
May whatever I have gained be for the benefit of others.
जो कुछ भी मैंने प्राप्त किया है वो दूसरों के फायदे के हो.
So try saying that.
तो ऐसा कहने की कोशिश करें.
See what effect it has on you.
तो आपको इसका क्या परिणाम होता है इसे देखिए.
See what change takes place in your own mind.
आपके मन में इससे क्या फर्क पड़ता है, परिवर्तन होता है इसे देखिए.
And I'm sure that you'll find if you do these seven practices, a real change will take place in your own mind.
और मुझे पूरा विश्वास है कि अगर आप ये सात साधनाओं को करते हैं तो आपका सही परिवर्तन आपके मन में होगा.
You'll create the basis for the bodhicitta to arise.
आप बोधिचित्त को निर्माण करने की बुनियाद बनाएंगे.
So please, over these next 24 hours, just experiment with these seven practices.
तो आने वाले कुछ दिनों में इन सात साधनाओं का अनुभव करने की कोशिश करें.
Try making offerings to the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas.
और बोधिसत्वों को अर्पण करके.
Try salutation.
और वंदन करके.
prostration. Try going for refuge, saying the formula of going for refuge. Try looking at your own faults and admitting them to a friend. Try rejoicing in the merits of other people. At least 5 rejoicings in the next 24 hours. Try asking for the teachings. Try transferring the merits of what you've done for the benefit of others. And if you're doing that, you'll be fulfilling the preliminary practice for the arising of the bodhicitta. You'll be creating the bodhisattva's mind. You'll be developing Baba Sahib's mind. You'll be following in his footsteps. Now, there's just one more point I want to make before I conclude. We've seen that the bodhicitta is not mine, nor is it yours. It goes beyond mine or yours. In a sense, I can't have the bodhicitta. The bodhicitta is the transcendence of I. It's not going to be my bodhicitta. It's not going to be your bodhicitta. So that means that we need to be careful that our attempt to make the bodhicitta arise doesn't just reinforce selfishness. We can think, oh, I'm so good at spiritual practice. My meditation is so strong and deep. And, you know, I do such good prostrations. But of course, then you're just reinforcing I. And the bodhicitta can't arise. So this means that the most effective way for bodhicitta to arise is when you're working very closely with other people. When you're very close to other people and undertaking your spiritual practice with them. So you don't think, well, this is my spiritual practice. You just think this is our life and practice together. Because you share a common aim and aspiration, you transcend yourselves together. Our own teacher Sangharakshita says this. The bodhicitta is much more likely to arise among a group of people working very closely, intensively together. But we've got just a small experience of that here. Well, here Kumarajiv and I working together. And neither of us can do this without the other. And we work completely spontaneously together. But I don't think about what he's doing. In a way, he doesn't think what I'm doing. There's something that's more than each of us happening. The talk is not just me, it's not just him. But it goes even further than that. It's not even just us together. It's you too. You're listening. Your consciousness is there. So what happens is something more than all of us put together. Standing here, I can feel it. There's a definite atmosphere, a definite consciousness that comes from our collective concentration. Something is coming into being that's greater than any of us in particular. So perhaps just a small hint of the bodhicitta is there. Because we come together in this way, in the light of the Dharma, something more than us as individuals comes into being. So, this is the way the bodhicitta comes. If we can work very closely together for the sake of the Dhamma, the bodhicitta will arise. If we just work on our own, we reinforce our own selfishness. This is why it's so important that we are united. There's so much fighting amongst Buddhists. How can you get the bodhicitta to arise when you're fighting each other? But if we come together to try to do something for the Dhamma, to do something for Baba Sahib, the bodhicitta can come. So we need Sangha for the bodhicitta to arise. So I'd like you to think about this. What is your own experience? Do you have that experience of Sangha? Are you joining together with others to work for the sake of the Dhamma? In what way can you do this more? So this is some reflection for you overnight. You can first of all just experiment with those seven moods. Just tonight, over these 24 hours and over the next few weeks, you can try developing those seven attitudes. You could just say the words of the Sevenfold Puja if you want. Or you can just develop it in your own way. Try making offerings, see what happens. Go down with your head on the ground, see what happens. Say the refuges, see what happens. Confess your breaches of the precepts, see what you feel. Rejoice in merits, see what you feel. Ask for the teachings, see what you feel. Say, whatever benefits I have derived, may other people gain them. Transfer your merits and see what you feel and reflect on Sangha. Do you feel that you have a sufficiently strong Sangha? How could you work more closely with others so that the bodhicitta can arise? But in this way, you will create the conditions for the bodhicitta to arise. I'm making very strong demands of you. I'm asking you to work really hard. I'm asking you to really change yourselves. I'm asking you to make some real spiritual effort.
और मैं आपको पूछ रहा हूँ कि आप सही में कुछ आध्यात्मिक प्रयास करिए।
And I'm very confident that many of you will try hard to practice in this way.
और मुझे पूरा विश्वास है कि आप में से बहुत सारे लोग इस ढंग से कार्य करने के लिए पूरा प्रयास करेंगे।
And if you do that, you will really be following in Baba Sahib's footsteps.
अगर आप ऐसा करते हैं तो सही में आप बाबा साहब के बताए राह पर चलो।
You will be following the Bodhisattva path.
और आप बोधिसत्व के मार्ग का आचरण करो।
And the bodhicitta will begin to arise.
और बोधिचित्त निर्माण होने की शुरुआत हो जाएगी।
So, any merits that there are in this talk, may they go to the benefit of all beings.
और इस प्रवचन से जो कुछ भी पुण्य निर्माण हुआ है, वो सभी प्राणियों के सुख के लिए जाए।
जय भीम।